Well, it's cloudy in the morning, gonna be raining in the afternoon. Cloudy in the morning, gonna be raining in the afternoon. And if you don't like this rainy weather, you better pack your bags and move.
You're listening to the Crispy Critics on 88.1 FM KVSC. My name is Chris Hontos. I'm the music director here at the station. And I'm joined by two of KVSC's newest DJs. That's Carl Leslie and his son, Zach. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing
this
great.
This is my first time being on pre-recorded radio.
Excellent. Well, I hope it's a good experience for you.
Yeah.
And you guys are hosting the...
The Root Cellar.
The Root Cellar.
Yep. We're doing
every
it...
Sometimes
week.
That's what I call
We're
it.
We're doing it every other week opposite Mississippi Tim, the show's creator.
Uh-huh.
And we're having a lot of fun. KVSC has been a great place for us so far. Everyone's been open arms, very welcoming. Zach here is only 11 years old, and he's a DJ, and it's pretty cool. And everybody's been really welcoming to him. It's made me feel good. How's it made you feel, Zach?
Good.
Okay.
It's cool. We don't have many young people at KVSC, so it's always good to have that younger generation chiming in and doing what they do. Actually, I should also mention that you write for the St. Cloud Times.
So as people, do you.
Yeah, I do. So you've done it for many years now.
Yeah, I started in January of 1999. It's really evolved. It was a lot of different things back in the early days.
Mm-hmm.
And what was neat about that, I guess we'll say, was I did a lot of reporting back then. I did a lot of interviews, and now it's more evolved into something a little different. You're the music critic. I'm the... music junkie.
And that gives you a bit more freedom.
Yeah, it gives me a little more freedom. I try to keep it pretty positive. I mean, if there's somebody I don't like, I don't write about them.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. And I get, I'll talk about a lot of shows I've been to, that sort of thing, but it's a good gig. I've really enjoyed it.
That's what you mentioned, that you don't typically write about bands or artists that you weren't really, appreciating. And I found early on when I was started writing reviews for the St. Cloud Times that it's sometimes easier to totally pan a record and just to throw it out the window and talk about why you hate it. And sometimes it's harder to actually appreciate something for what it is, especially if it's something you don't really like.
I think it's a lot harder.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of people I could trash.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do. But when you get 26 columns a year, I always look at it like I like turning people on to music as opposed to pushing them away from music. So
yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I like. And some of these artists actually thrive on bad reviews as much as they do good reviews. So I just as soon give them no review.
Right.
But that's personal opinion, and that's the beauty of what we got going at the Times.
And one record that we're going to talk about now is one that will definitely I think you guys will definitely play on the Root Cellar program, and is also one that is not something you would totally hate on. It is Willie Nelson's newest album, Songbird.
Yeah, that's right. As a matter of fact, we played it on our last radio show, the Root Cellar show. You know, it's one of those things where when I first played it, I wasn't so sure I was going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good sign. Music I like best tends to grow on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept playing it. And I tell you what, I won't say it's the best CD or maybe even one of the best CDs of the year, but it is a strong, very strong showing from Willie Nelson.
Do you think it's one of Willie Nelson's stronger albums compared to other albums? I mean, he's had a million out there,
Yeah, I would say so. And we can give it a little background. It was produced by Ryan Adams, and you might know him from Whiskey Town or his solo career. Ryan did a fine job, and his band, The Cardinals, is an excellent band. I guess I didn't realize what a great group of musicians they were until I really heard them on this album backing Willie. They are put on a strong performance as well. And Ryan's produced other things. And I suppose it was kind of a natural matchup too, because they're both Willie and Ryan are on Lost Highway Records.
Yeah, that probably had something to do with it.
I'm sure that had something to do with it. And I think it was probably also something where they're trying to match up the younger generation with the older generation, with the classic country guy.
Mm-hmm.
Similar maybe to what Jack White did with Loretta Lynn.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, and I think that there's I've always read anyway, that there's a little bit of competition between Jack White and Ryan Adams. And so I kind of wonder if that had anything to do with getting Adams to want to produce something like this.
You're right. He did a fantastic job producing the album. And I think the there is definitely an element that he brings that I don't, that I certainly haven't heard in, I mean, I'm not too versed in Willie Nelson's albums, but I think Ryan Adams brings his own personality to and his own character to much of the songs. And it creates a sort of a little, there's a few tracks that are a little more on the rock side, a little more straightforward. And I think those are the ones where Ryan Adams definitely had an influence.
Right. I think where you hear it a little more upbeat, heavier on the guitar.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't have got that from Willie if he was using one of his typical Nashville producers. But Ryan does a good job. The song selection is good. I know they each wrote a song specifically for this album. Ryan wrote one specifically for Willie, and that was called Blue Hotel is that song. Then there's quite a few covers on there, and then some more standard, we're not even want to say standard Willie Nelson, but Willie draws on some tunes that he had on previous albums, like the one we played on the Root Cellar, We Don't Run, which is maybe my favorite song. It's just really a lively number that...
It's a real country song.
Country,
it's a real traditional song.
Yeah, it was brought up, he took it off of the Spirit album originally. Covers some Graham Parsons' $1,000 Wedding, which I think is a great song.
Right.
Covers Grateful Dead, the Stella Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And also
Leonard Cohen.
Leonard Cohen, Hallelujah. And I've heard at least one person say, oh, I hate it when everybody covers that one song by Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
But I really like this version of it. You know, my favorite version is Jeff Buckley's. He kind of owns that song.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is so different, and it's country, and it's really worth, I think, giving a listen to. And I just like what Willie does with it. He doesn't try to do a remake kind of a cover. He tries to make it his own, and that brings something fresh to it.
I agree. And Rainy Day Blues, that was one that he wrote, yep. And it starts off the album. That's a sort of bluesy song, as the title would suggest, and I think that showcases Willie Nelson's storytelling, that storytelling element that exists, I think, in a lot of the early Willie Nelson albums, and the records that really made him known for his storytelling abilities.
Right. I love that song. I mean, it really kicks the album into gear.
Mm-hmm.
And then he follows that up with Fleetwood Mac or Christine McVie's Songbird, which he does a great job with that.
Yep. I definitely think that's one of the stronger tracks. It's a really sentimental and excellent performance of that song.
And what I like about it is, a lot of us that have listened to that Fleetwood Mac album a lot know that song by heart. As I heard it, I was saying, I think I know this song. I think it's a cover. Who is it? Oh, it's definitely a cover because I hear the chorus, but I wasn't sure who it was. It wasn't the Fleetwood Mac song that you were getting. You were getting Willie Nelson's rendition of it.
Right.
Again, kind of making it his own. And I appreciate that about him. He's not just trying to get you to hear another song mm-hmm. that you know by heart. He's trying to give you a Willie Nelson spin on it.
And I think that definitely contributes to the character of the album. It is called Songbird, and it's on Lost Highway Records, and we're going to take a listen to a song from it now.
I guess my heart has settled back to her. I wrote a dream so wild and free for all that dream was worth. But true love is both a blessing and a curse. Today my heart just settled back to earth. Now I know just how you felt that night so long ago. The dream for you had ended and you let me know. So I bounced from sky to sky, trying to keep the dream alive. But everything I did just made it worse. Guess my heart just settled back to love created songs that I still sing. Love we knew still makes the rafters ring.
We're back from hearing Willie Nelson, and we're here on Crispy Critics. You know, one thing we hadn't talked much about here is the record label, Lost Highway.
Right.
I really like this record label. I mean, it is my favorite record label right now. I honestly think I've gotten everything that they've put out on this record label, and I haven't gone wrong. They've had some artists I haven't known. Of course, it's my genre. I do like the alternative country
Americana
music and the Americana music. That's kind of my thing. But I tell you what, they really pick some good artists, from Lucinda Williams, Ryan Adams. The Jayhawks have been on there. Mm-hmm. It's a great record label, and I think it's got a lot going. Willie Nelson, has been on there now for a couple albums, I think. And I know early on in the early Lost Highway days, they had Hank Williams tribute. It's good to hear another great album coming from Lost Highway. It's certainly a record label to keep an eye on if you're like me and Zach, and you like the alternative country mm-hmm. music. And I guess that's all I need to say about Lost Highway.
Okay. Well, I was wondering what you think, because although it can be dangerous as a critic to compare something to another thing when maybe there's no valid reference to be made, but I do think there's a reference to be made between Willie Nelson's Songbird and Bob Dylan's Modern Times. Not just that both have come out in 2006 and both are by aging, iconic rock and roll stars of the past, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
But I think they're both albums heavy on maturity and sort of signaling an artistic renaissance for both artists, I think.
Yeah, I think they're two very different albums.
Right, and that's dangerous.
One is there. Based in country, and one is based in folk rock. Mm-hmm. And Dylan is doing something really different. I mean, he's kind of carrying over the sound that he got into on Love and Theft.
Yeah,
and it's a sound that you just don't really hear anywhere else. Certainly not on commercial radio. Mm-hmm. You'll hear it here on KVSC, but not many people can do what Dylan is doing. Mm-hmm. Willie Nelson, it's still Willie Nelson as you know and love. I think the difference is the Ryan Adams production that's giving it. As you mentioned earlier, a little bit more of a rock feel, a little bit more pumped up Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm. But they're such different albums. I mean, if you were to ask me, you know, which one I like better, I mean, I'd have to give the nod to Bob.
And, yeah.
And right now, uh-huh. I don't think that's too hard for me to do. but this is still a great album, and it's definitely one. It's noteworthy. I mean, it's one you should, especially if you like country and alt country music, Americana, that you should check out. Is it's if I were to just list country and alt country music in my top 20, mm-hmm. this would definitely be there.
Yeah.
My tastes are much broader than that. I don't know if I can put it in a top 20 right now, but mm-hmm. it's a great album.
Okay.
What do you think? What's your
well,
take on that?
My perspective is one, I haven't listened to much Willie Nelson, and honestly, although I appreciate very much Americana music and alt country, it's not something that I consider to be, you know, one of my favorite styles of music. Mm-hmm. Having said that, listening to the record, I was surprised by several of the tracks that I found to be, you know, really strong, really having a lot of subtleties, and I appreciate subtleties in music, especially when you're listening to a single singer-songwriter, that's just... They're letting it all out and being honest and intimate.
And I think some of that is the veteran performer that Willie Nelson is.
Right.
I want to give a lot of credit to Ryan Adams, though, too. He takes a lot of crap, let's say, because of some of his antics.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, like last year, 2005, he put out three albums, which I think was maybe one album too many.
Yeah.
I'm glad he tried it, but, you know, good for him. But it shouldn't take away from his abilities just because his last album was so-so. Mm-hmm. He is an incredible songwriter and a very talented person, and well beyond his years in his own abilities. And I think combining that with Willie Nelson's veteran skills made for a great pair, made for a great match, and resulted in an excellent album.
I'd like to see in the future them work together and maybe do something that is less traditional country and more on the Ryan Adams side of things. I think I'd like to hear Willie Nelson fronting a modern rock band.
Well, you know, Willie is known for doing duets with everybody.
Yeah,
he'll do a duet with just about anybody.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I really heard a duet on this album, did we?
Not that I can recall.
I don't recall one, and we didn't really hear a duet with Ryan, and maybe there wasn't, you know, maybe it wasn't meant to be, but it would be interesting to hear Willie on a Ryan CD.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the future, maybe next year when Ryan Adams releases like 8 records or something.
Yeah, he hasn't had one this year, so you know he's got some.
He must have a few in the vault.
Yeah, he's got a few in the vault, I'm sure.
Well, the next record we're going to talk about on the Crispy Critics is from Evan Dando's band, the Lemonheads. This is their 8th album, and strangely enough, it's self-titled. It's released on the Vagrant Records, and it comes after a 10-year hiatus?
Yep, 10 years.
10 years since the last Lemonheads album. So it's kind of unexpected, quite a surprise for most people to even see.
I was surprised. Evan Dando, the last thing we heard from him was a solo album, which I thought was very good. I think it got some press in the UK, but very little play and very little notice here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was expecting another Evan Dando album. And then along came an Lemonheads release, which quite frankly, I think is really good, even though it's got mixed reviews. I've seen some reviews, say out of 4 stars, giving it 4 and others giving it 2.
Yeah.
Which I found interesting because the review I read that called it mediocre kind of made me mad because I think it's a lot better than that.
Right. I think there's quite a few gems on the CD that really stick out, regardless of the history of the Lemonheads, which I think has been somewhat inconsistent. I mean, as far as their albums go, their one big album from 1992 was called
It's a Shame About Ray.
Right. Their classic album. And I mean, to compare the two would obviously be a mistake. I think, you know, this is definitely a different record and different period in Evan Dando's life, but I have a hard time saying there's anything bad about it. It's, you know, there's so much to like and there's so little to actually dislike, you know.
Well, what I like about Dando is his voice. It's just, it's almost like he should have been in the radio business.
Yeah.
it's so smooth and it's so easygoing, laid back, and yet he can be so in your face and so affronting,
yeah.
And you almost want to say thank you for that.
Right.
And then you combine it with the style of music. Lemonheads are the punk and pop band from Boston, and there's so much to like about it. Like as you said, Chris, it's how do I explain it? You get the punk, which is, you know, just rock your socks off, and you'll be jamming and bobbing your head, and yet it's toe tappable or sing. You know, you want to sing along.
It's
or,
catchy.
I mean, it's catchy, and it's got just the right hooks, and that's what draws me in. You combine those things: the pop, the punk. And the vocals of Evan Dando, and it just makes for a good listen.
Right. I definitely think there's comparisons to be made with Paul Westerberg and some of his more upbeat solo albums, because it's got that really strong sense of melody along with a really raw, straightforward guitar power pop that the Lemonheads are sort of known for. And one of the things that I think contributes to the album is the fact that his band around this time is basically a trio between him playing guitars and piano and singing, and then Carl Alvarez on bass and Bill Stevenson on drums, who are the rhythm section of the Descendants, and also a band called All, which was a spinoff of the Descendants. And Descendants were the power pop punk band of the 80s, and they're even still around recording today. And this album sounds dangerously close to the last couple Descendants album, and it's a good thing, though, because it's still distinctly Lemonheads with Evan Dando's vocals, but it definitely contributes to the feel of the punky feel of it.
So melodically, so I'm not familiar with the Descendants, but melodically you're saying it's similar to that.
It is very similar.
But you lay Evan Dando's vocals over anything and it becomes Evan Dando's.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Mean, because he has such a distinct voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and one of the things I like about his voice too, like you said, is that it's really loose and it's really easygoing and he's just there for the ride, and he's got his lyrics are not necessarily mind-blowingly poignant or something, but they don't have to be. He's just singing songs, and there's nothing to say.
One or two that are a little bit even controversial or confrontational, maybe, I think, but most of them are sit back and take it in.
I mean, you know, it's power pop music, I think, through and through, and that doesn't mean that it's simple, happy pop songs.
Yeah.
You know.
I think we should give a listen to the track.
Yeah, definitely. We'll take a listen to The Lemon. Goes on in Poughkeepsie,
people slip away. Hit me in the arm, just please do it swiftly. We ain't got all day. Yeah. One more coat of arms, every business weekly. What's a man to say? It's not that I'm so strong, I never knew what hit me since you came to stay.
And we're back from that song.
And you're listening to The Crispy Critics on KVSC.
And we're talking about The Lemonheads.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we're talking about The Lemonheads' new self-titled album. It's on Vagrant Records. This is his first album for Vagrant. And I think that's an okay home for him. They have Paul Westerberg's music. They have The Hold Steady Now and a few other more contemporary singer-songwriter guys, along with a bunch of terrible emo bands that the kids listen to. But what can you say?
But hey, yeah. It's still the Lemonheads. And I mean, that's my big thing is I'm glad to have them back after 10 years, even, you know, that was too long of a break. You know, I know Car Button Cloth, I think that was what came out 10 years ago. Didn't get great reviews. I liked it.
Yeah.
You know, really since It's a Shame About Ray, I've liked everything that they've done. Some of those albums weren't as strong as this one, say, start to finish, but there are always some really good moments.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I think this disc is pretty strong, start to finish.
Yeah.
And a number of great moments.
I totally agree with you. It's not that long, and none of the songs seem superfluous to me. I mean, I think every single song is definitely really good, and if you don't like it, it's over in 2 minutes anyway. You know, it's not like, you know, he's dragging this out and making it something it's not.
And to some degree, I suppose you could say, well, he waited 10 years. There better not be a lot of filler.
Yeah. Although one of the things that surprised me about the album, considering it comes after a 10-year hiatus, is that it sounds like he just went into the studio for a weekend and recorded it and wrote all the songs in the studio. It has a really, really loose feel that doesn't sound too pre-planned. You know, it sounds really spontaneous. And that, I think, contributes to the success of the album and the atmosphere that is really, really enjoyable.
I agree.
So it's kind of ironic that it comes after a 10-year hiatus.
Because he just went in and made it in a week.
You know, it seems that way. You know, it has that feel, and that's great, I think. So.
Well, I think that, you know, you read a lot about artists that do that they go in, and Ryan Adams was known for that. I mean, the artist we reviewed earlier with Willie Nelson. And, you know, sometimes you get your best music that way. You go in, you have some ideas of what you want to do, but you just go make it happen. You know, we all love garage rock because of that, because it's garage rock and because it's easy to listen to, easy to take in. It sounds like they're having fun because they are having fun.
Right.
You go in with too many plans and you want to make it just so, that's when you end up with something that's overproduced.
Has a wonderfully tossed off feel. Right. I really appreciate it.
And when you're talking punk and punk pop, it needs to have that spontaneity. It has to, or it's going to kill the album.
Yeah.
And they don't hear. I mean, they do a great job.
One of the guests that is on here on a song called No Backbone is Jay Maskus, and he plays lead guitar for this track. And I'm looking, I don't think he plays on any other tracks, but he plays also on Steve's Boy, a couple of tracks he plays guitar on. And Jay Maskus is, of course, from, he has his own solo band, and he recently reunited his old band, Dinosaur Jr. Oh. And so Jay Maskus definitely contributes two songs, and I think the songs that he does contribute fit with the album, and they also have a very similar feel to the Lemonheads, to the distinctly Evan Dando tracks, because you know, Dinosaur Jr. was very much about the same aesthetic as the Lemonheads, is the straightforward sort of power pop, big riffs and easy melodies, and
same early '90s era,
right? Yeah,
and I think that's probably a good matchup for him.
Yeah, definitely. So it's great to see Jay Maskus around again. Were you ever a fan of Dinosaur Jr. at all?
Modestly so.
Modestly, okay.
Yeah.
More Lemonheads than Dinosaur
Jr. Much more Lemonheads, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I played the heck out of It's a Shame About Ray.
Yeah, is that your first Lemonheads album?
That was where I came in.
Uh-huh.
I did go back and get Hate Your Friends.
Okay.
which has a great version, a punk version of Amazing Grace on it that I like to surprise people with once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it really is, It's a Shame About Ray really is where I came in and I would guess I'd consider it my earliest because I don't play Hit Your Friends that much.
Yeah. And I was actually in preparation for the review. I was just listening to one of the CDs we have in the studio, KVSC, and it's a very early compilation, from their early days in the late 80s. And it was not very good. It was very, I'll just say it was very bad. It was not very well done. And listening to this in comparison is like a million miles away.
You know, and I also, when I prepared for coming in here to do the review, you know, I read about early Lemonheads, and it was born out of the Husker Du Replacements era, the Minneapolis hard rock. And then it became Evan Dando's band over time. And there was some squabbling amongst the band members, it sounded like.
Mm-hmm.
The early review I read, at least one of them, it almost made it sound like it was too bad it went this way. But everything I hear from those early days, mm-hmm. I'm really glad it went this way and
yeah.
that Evan Dando won out. And obviously he brings an element that allows the album to have a little bit of commercial viability. Just because his voice and he's a very good looking man, and of course got his picture on a bunch of magazines, and I guess
he's quite photogenic.
Yes, and that sells albums apparently, male or female. But you know, musically, I think it was a good thing for this band that Evan Dando took the reins and made it his band, because I have heard some of the early materials, and like you, much of what I heard was just bad, and
yeah.
they've gotten a lot better, and you know, it all started with It's a Shame About Ray, and now we have a self-titled disc. That's great too.
Yeah, and I kind of understand why it's self-titled, because it's almost like a new beginning. It's a new band behind him, and it's not necessarily a new sound, but it's definitely a refreshed sound. And after 10 years, I think it's great to hear more from the Lemonheads. This is actually the first Lemonheads record I've ever actually listened to all the way through.
Okay,
so I've heard a few of their early tracks and never really blew me away, but I'll definitely have to go check them out after this.
Yep, I would recommend that.
Well, maybe I'll start with It's a Shame About Ray.
I think we'll see any more Lemonheads.
In the future?
Yes.
I think we definitely will. I think Evan Dando, after recording a record like this, I don't think I think he's still got another one in his system for sure.
He's not done.
Yeah.
He's far from done.
I think so. Did you like the album?
Didn't hear it.
Oh, okay.
I was too busy trying to get Beatles stuff for Beatlemania.
Yeah, that's right. We got
Thanksgiving weekend.
Yep, we got a Radio Roulette show on Thanksgiving weekend. We're gonna do Beatlemania.
Really?
As so music picked out by Zach.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should
Since
be fun.
I'm in love with them.
Excellent. So that'll be Thanksgiving weekend, Saturday at 5:00.
Yep.
So be definitely sure to tune in for that. Zach and Carl, thanks a lot for your time, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
Whisper snow, as if you know exactly how to feel. When it looks just like a dolphin show. So, this is how your life will go. I never wonder why, and I always get a decent life. We're supposed to